Amen. Going to read a few missionary letters tonight, but I want to start out with 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Starting in actually verse 15, 1 Corinthians 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Then also over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for the many lives that you have changed through the ages. Father, we read about many of them in the Blessed Bible and this book you've given us. And yet we see many around us today. We ourselves being changed and many around us being changed by your power and by your glory. And we are to be encouraged by one another. And Father, I pray that as we read some of these letters tonight, as we consider the ministry of our missionaries and some of the circumstances they face, that we might be encouraged by the strength that your Spirit gives them. We might be encouraged by what they have been able to do through you and Father, that we might be more faithful where we're at, dear God, that we might be zealous in our place and be the lights that you'd call us to be. Help us to submit ourselves unto such, as you have said in your word, and to mark them, dear God, and to have those that that we desire to be like. Father, not only ought we to be looking at your blessed Son, our eyes on you, but we also ought to be looking at other believers who love you and are zealous for you and want to learn from them and mark them and be like them as well. And so, Father, help us in that, we pray. I pray you'd use this time for that work in our hearts and lives. And Father, we just pray to be with those who could not be with us tonight, and might they find a time of solace in your word and prayer, and dear God, might your church be edified tonight. Help us to be careful to thank you and praise you, and we thank you for many blessings this morning, and pray once again for the grace, the working of your Spirit in our hearts tonight. So, Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Have a first letter have here is from Brother Klein, and he of course visited earlier this year and stopped in and saw us and was here Sunday morning and Sunday night, I think he was, and was with us. He just preached and shared his ministry during Sunday school, and that was his choice, and it was a blessing that he was here. We enjoyed that wonderful stay when the church gave a great love offering to him, and very encouraged by that. And this is the latest letter I have from him. It's the third quarter letter of 2018, the letter reads Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Well, there's a powerful message there, amen. He says, if you're wondering where we are right now, Nancy, of course, this is a little while back, but Nancy, our three youngest children, and I are back in Newcastle, Delaware, with our oldest daughter, Maurice, and her family. They're actually in Chile now, but this is the latest one I have from them. We're eagerly waiting for our daughter, Lauren, and her family to join us. They will be arriving in a week to spend a few days with us in Delaware. We're planning a surprise baby shower for Lauren and a birthday party for our grandson, Deacon, while we are all together before we fly back to Chile. 2 months ago, we started out in Delaware. This is during their furlough. We then headed to Oregon to visit our oldest sons, Bill and Matthew, my parents and sister, and our home church. What a trip. After 4 nights sleeping in a tent across the country, driving, sleeping in a tent, 2,600 miles, and 38 hours of driving, we finally arrived in Oregon. There's somebody we can mark, amen. There's somebody that we can say has addicted themselves to the ministry. He says, I've never driven from coast to coast before. We had smooth sailing all the way. And our purchased 2004 Honda Pilot worked flawlessly. Amen. Our first stop in Oregon after 4.5 years in South America was to spend time visiting and catching up with my parents and sister in Baker City. Our next stop was our home church, Berean Baptist in Pendleton. We spent time with Pastor Watkins and our church family. We also had time to catch up with many friends in the Pendleton area. While there, I was able to preach and give an update on our ministry in Argentina and Chile. With our home church, we had the privilege of passing out over 3,000 tracts at the Pendleton Roundup Parade. Amen. It was great to get so many tracts in the hands of individuals and see people happy to receive and read them. Our next stop was in Portland, Oregon. We had a splendid time visiting with our sons, Bill and Matthew. They have both moved back to Oregon since our last furlough. We were able to have a tour of Matthew's college in Newburgh, where he is currently a sophomore, and they also were able to catch up with Bill. It was great to reconnect with each of them again. We were also able to visit Mountain View Baptist Church in Tualatin and Mid Valley Baptist Church in Corvallis. It was a blessing to visit with many old friends in a couple of our supporting churches. They were very kind and giving. We appreciate everyone's interest and generosity toward our ministry. We drove across the U.S. again and are now back in Delaware. We are in the process of preparing for our return to Chile and are eager to get back to work in our ministry. Kyle Sheridan, our ministry partner, will be going on furlough with his family all of 2019. I will be overseeing the church ministries while they are gone. Lord willing, we will be back in the United States in 2020 for a full furlough. We plan on visiting Texas in March and April, Arizona and California in May, and then Oregon and Washington in June and July. We are looking forward to seeing everyone in 2020, and we'll get a hold of them if they're here. If you would like to receive our email updates, please send an email, and I, of course, have that. Just thank you for your prayers and support. So that's a wonderful blessing. Amen. And there's certainly somebody we can mark and want to be like that. Let's just pray for them for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Kleins. And they've served you faithfully all these years, even to see their kids grow up and many of them move away to different callings. And we thank you for them. We thank you for the safety you've given them over many travels, many miles. And dear God, for their living in such a simple life, dear God. And requiring not much in material things and ministering in places where it's difficult, dear God. And you've kept them, and they have kept you as the treasure of their eye. And Father, help us to follow in that example and bless them. Bless them now as they're in Chile, dear God. And they've taken over that ministry for the whole year. Give them grace and wisdom, and to help Mother Klein as he struggles to learn the language and such. It's been harder for him being older, And I just pray you just continue to help him and bless them greatly, him and his dear wife and the children there that are ministering with him. We thank you for him. We thank you we could have that biblical fellowship with them in prayer and support. And we just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I have one here from Brother Talkington in Germany, and this is his November letter, the latest one I have from him. Brother Talkington. President Donald Trump is not a popular figure in Germany. 6 years ago, when we first arrived on the field in Germany, when people discovered that I was an American, they would ask me what I'm doing here. This was a great conversation starter and allowed me to explain our church planting ministry and on many occasions share the gospel with them. Today, when folks here discover I'm an American, the first question out of their mouth is what I think about President Trump. A few people have actually asked me why President Trump hates Germany so much. This is based on the perception that President Trump has made it a point to publicly criticize the German Chancellor Angela Merkel every time they have been in the same room together over the past 2 years. I patiently explained to them that President Trump doesn't hate either Germany or Germans, but rather is seeking to ensure that the U.S. and Germany are operating on an even playing field. It is true, for example, that Germany does not pay its fair share of defense costs as a part of NATO. The U.S. pays about 4% of its GDP, and Germany pays about 1%. In addition, Germany, as part of the European Union, charges an 8% tariff on cars imported from the U.S., while the U.S. charges only 2% on the import of German cars. These are only a few examples of a much bigger problem. I explained further that President Trump is only doing his job as the representative of the American people by trying to ensure that we are not being taken advantage of by other countries. This explanation seems to work for Germans who generally have a positive impression of Americans, but does not seem to satisfy those who are otherwise disposed to hate everything about the U.S. In any case, it still serves as a good conversation starter that sometimes leads to us being able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Amen. We recently purchased a newer/used vehicle for ministry use. It is a 2016 Opel Zafira, if I'm pronouncing that right, he says, which is a vehicle that is not available in the U.S. Technically, it may be referred to as a crossover vehicle and closely resembles a van. It can comfortably seat 7 people, 5 adults and 2 children. We will be able to use it to pick up people and transport them to church and or to transport folks to church functions, as well as for hospital visits, passing out tracts, and for personal use such as shopping. Although we really couldn't afford to purchase the new vehicle, we also couldn't afford to continue to sink $1,500 to $2,500 per year in maintenance costs into the much older vehicle that it replaced. Car repairs in Germany are very, expensive. Let's face it, once you have paid $12,000 into replacing the clutch, air conditioning system, brakes, alternator, radiator, exhaust system, shocks, timing belt, etc., of an older vehicle with high mileage, you are still stuck with a high mileage older vehicle in which the motor could go bad at any time. He says, in addition, the newer vehicle gets twice the gas mileage of the older one, and so we will be able to save some money there. All in all, we are hopeful that we will be able to drive the Opel for a minimum of 10 years without any major maintenance problems and costs. And we'll certainly pray with him about that. My wife and I can count many times, you probably can as well, things in our house that they're like the shoes of the Israelites. They just don't wear out. I'm thankful for that. We have a list of things that we are amazed are still working. And by the way, have worked with virtually no maintenance for 20 plus years, some of them. And we are thankful for the Moses effect. the children of Israel. So thank God for that. God's mercies for sure. He continues to write, since our last prayer letter, we have had four first-time visitors to our church. One of them came in after seeing a tract that he received in his mailbox. You'll go to jail for that here, get a fine for that here. Another couple came in after they saw our sign while driving by the church. And the last one came in after receiving one of the special gospel calendars that we pass out at the end of every year. All of them were unique, and while I don't see any of them becoming members of our church, we certainly had some interesting conversations. In addition, it is always an encouragement to see new faces and to get a better idea how successful each of our outreach methods are in bringing new people in. The first of these folks to visit was a young man named Christian. I had a few minutes before the service to talk to him. He told me that he had grown up as a Catholic, but had been saved a couple of years ago. He said that he had been attending services at the church in which he had been saved, but left because they were teaching the wrong doctrine. After our morning services were over, we invited him to have a cup of coffee with us. When I asked him what the false doctrine his church had been teaching was, he told me that they were teaching that people who were saved could not lose their salvation. I explained to him that we too believed in eternal security. In the end, after a lengthy discussion and after examination of several Bible verses, he left unconvinced. Our next visitors were a couple named Harold and Martina. They sang and listened to the preaching, and afterward we invited them to join us at our first ever church barbecue. As it turns out, they were already members of another church in the area. Our last visitor was a lady named Rowita. Over a cup of coffee after our services, we discovered that she was a member of a Pentecostal church in the area and still held to the belief that speaking in tongues and the laying on of hands for miraculous healing was relevant for today. Despite trying to reason with her out of the Bible in love, she too left unconvinced. Still, we were happy that the Lord sent them our way and pray that we were a blessing to them. Thank you again for your prayers and support for our ministry, and we pray you enjoy a blessed Christmas with family and friends, your servants in Christ, the Talkington family. Wasn't that a good letter? Just continually sending the gospel out. I picture the church like a station and the radio waves are going out, and that's supposed to be the gospel. And God is the one who brings them in. We have to make sure the waves are going out. Amen? We're supposed to get that message out. And God will draw them in. We know that. We visited the visitors that have come to our church multiple times, and some of them four or five, six, some even more than that, six times, trying to just get them encouraged, just trying to stir them up. But you know, God's pleased with that. But we have to trust God to do the work, you know, and work in their lives. Let's pray for the Talkingtons. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother Ryan and Sister Hilda Talkington, and Father, for their long labors over there. We pray for their health. I know his diabetes and his eyes and his heart and her knees and such, and they have some struggles there, Father. We pray for them, dear God, and that you'd help them. We pray for their new building there, and that you could just continue to help them to be faithful there, and continue to bring those visitors in and help them as they have been to share the truth in love. And Father, strengthen them. We know that he who is commended of you is approved, and we thank you for that. We thank you for their faithfulness there. Help them, give them strength. Work in the hearts of those that have received the gospel. Father, might you draw them in. Lord, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's another couple we can mark and follow and want to be like. The Herzls. I read the Kleins. The Herzls in Vanuatu. This is their November letter. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thank you for your prayers and support. The ministry here in Vanuatu abounds with fruit to your accounts. Different how the fields are different. Amen. The different grounds you find. This would not be possible without you. The last 2 months have been incredibly full of the end of the year programs for the church and school. We have seen our youth draw to a close for the end. We have seen our youth draw to a close to the end of the year with a wonderful opportunity to take them out and away from town for the day. Fill them with food and fellowship and a challenge to see them go out and share it with family and friends over the summer. The year finished strong with 5 saved through the church and school during our award and graduation programs. We were also able to give away over 15 Bibles to students who have achieved fluent reader status and are now capable of reading God's Word. The prison ministry, begun in July, has continued to grow and is now present in both our minimum and maximum security facilities here in Port Villa. Through this monthly outreach, we have distributed over 50 Bibles and 500 gospel tracts. Amen. As a part of the growth we have seen in both church and school, we are also starting to build again, the first stage of which was an expanded parking area. Next will be the fencing of our new playing field in the preparation for expansion. Thank you for being a part of the amazing work that God is doing in Vanuatu. And we are thankful for that. Prayers and praise. We are pleased to announce the engagement of our daughter, Tara. Amen. So please pray with us for Tara as her fiancé, Charlie, as they begin their preparations for marriage in 2021. Yeah. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise and prayer. Stephen, one of our recently baptized young men, is so very hungry for the Word of God. He has plowed through our discipleship course and is seeking God's will in his life, whether he should attend Bible college as he continues to grow. The last month, he taught his first Bible lesson at our men's prayer breakfast. Pray that that he keeps this fire for the things of the Lord. Amen. Prayer. Many of our church families and young people have left Port Villa for their home islands over the summer. Pray for safety and opportunities to share the gospel with their families and friends in the outer islands of Vanuatu. Prayer. In January, Jim is going to New Zealand for some much-needed repairs to his artificial leg. Please pray that the necessary parts are readily available and there are no delays to the repair process. Please pray we continue to see young men and women grow in their faith and follow the Lord's leading in their life in the Bible college and ministry. We currently have 5 students enrolled in 2019. Amen. Please pray for Pastor Nicholson, our missionary to Malfakaw, if I'm pronouncing that right. Malfakaw Malakula. He has been in Villa trying to get a new set of dentures made. The process has been complicated with additional oral surgery and denture construction delays. Yeah. Please pray that he will be able to enjoy a great big smile with his church in Malfakaw before Christmas. So that's something ongoing there. Well, let's pray for the Herzls. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Herzls, for their faithful ministry. We thank you for the souls that are being brought in there. Bless the Bible college, those enrolled in it. Pray this young man would stay on fire for the Lord and that your word would continue to burn in his heart, even like the two men or the couple, probably the man and his wife on the road to Emmaus, as your word burned within them, God. And Father, might your word burn within him and might he want to draw closer to you and be a witness for you and serve you. And bless Tara and her fiancé Charles as they prepare for marriage. And Father, might you oversee in that and your will be done there. And just bless, Lord, in all that's going on there, Heavenly Father. And help Brother Jim as he goes to New Zealand to get this artificial leg and the repairs that need to be done on it, dear God. And bless him. I know he deals with pain with that. And Sister Ari with the allergies and such that she's had there. And helper in that, I pray, and continue to be with them, and also their daughter Rochelle with the I believe it's the diabetes that she suffered with for so long. Just help and guide in that, and give them grace and healing. And thank you for the souls, dear God, that are coming to know you there, and for the growth that they're seeing, for the impact that they have. Even the president acknowledging that Christianity is the hope for Vanuatu, and allowing it to be taught in their schools, and encouraging people to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. We're so thankful we can be a part of that. And we look forward to more. We're thankful for the fruits from that, and look forward to more coming. Father, we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, and I think one more, and I'll be done for tonight. I don't know if I've ever read one of his letters here tonight, but I'm going to read one. This letter is from Brother Frank Van Apperdoorn. This man's been a challenge to my heart. I want to be more like Brother Frank. And he's among those that I've marked. He's among those that I realize, God, I have some growing I need to do. And he's a challenge. He's an encouragement to me. Most people in most of our churches wouldn't have any idea who Frank Van Apperdoorn is. And for some reason, God has given us the privilege to meet him and get to know him a little bit. And still don't know a whole lot about him. He's a single man. I don't know his background. I don't know if he was married. I think that he was for some reason. I don't know what was going on there. But I know he's by himself. He's a retired school teacher. And what he does is, as some of you have seen, his truck out there, and he drives an old, used, beat-up pickup truck, and he drives around from year to year, from college to college, 80 years old. He's 80 years old now. And he stands out on those campuses all day long with a little lunchbox full of tracts, something about a lunchbox saying Jesus saves or go to heaven or something like that. And all day long he passes out tracts and will talk to as many college students as will talk to him about faith in Jesus Christ. And he does it very low key. Like I say, most of our churches wouldn't know who Frank Van Apperdoorn is. But I'm thankful that we know him, that he's come and been a blessing to us, been a blessing, I know, to me, just in many ways, just in that spirit, and I'm thankful for that. And so he writes, he was here with us earlier this year as well, visited us, and was here one Sunday. He says, after finishing 6 cold New England states, can you imagine? The Lord allowed me, I think of Joe in boot camp in Chicago in the wintertime, just standing out there on his post of how freezing cold it was. But this man's 80 years old, folks. And that's the New England states and such. After finishing 6 cold New England states, the Lord allowed me to turn south on November 1st at midday. The Lord had me heading for Georgia. I should hear a voice behind me saying, walk in it, this is the way, walk in it. On November 2nd at 4:55 p.m., I was in the Devlinega, if I'm pronouncing that right, Devlinega, Georgia, to begin work on the University of North Georgia. I was surprised to find it just as cold in Upper Georgia as it was in New England. I remember that. I remember going south to Georgia, visiting a friend of my dad's. He had bird dogs. He'd take them down there. And it was cold in northern Georgia still. He remembers that. He says, it remained cold also in the other 8 universities in Georgia that the Lord sent me. Yet many great talks with students one-on-one. Turned hearts to confess our Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was only at Georgia's largest university in Athens that I found many cold hearts rejecting the good news. I found this common to all states, that the larger the universities, the less love for the Lord. On the 9 campuses in Georgia, 3,045 tracts were taken, all praise and honor to the Lord alone. Next, I turned to Florida, and the Lord finally blessed me with some warmer weather. First stop was at Florida Southwest College in Fort Myers. It was 82 degrees Fahrenheit, my first day on campus, and those winter long johns finally came off. However, my joy was short-lived as I moved into North Florida. More cold weather in Orlando, Gainesville, and Tallahassee, but mostly just in the morning hours of witnessing. The cold was not only in the air, but also in many hearts. Hard preaching and strong pleadings brought on by the Holy Spirit helped to soften a few hard hearts. But in Orlando, with 40,000 students, and Gainesville with 31,000 students, in 3 days of witnessing, only 553 students reached out for a gospel tract. Praise the Lord for those that are still seeking for truth. Florida A&M University in Tallahassee yielded 200 takers, as hearts were much more open to receive God's love. An owl that perched itself next to me where I was witnessing drew many students to come see the owl. I like that. And thus, many of those received a tract. I think that maybe that owl had been sent there. What do you think? Florida State, also in Tallahassee, was very open by taking 181 tracts with many thank yous and sweet smiles. The five universities visited in Florida had 1,034 students getting God's precious word. The new year, Lord willing, will have me on campuses in Arkansas, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota. continues. Please continue to keep my health also in your prayers. At 80 now, my body and mind functions are growing weaker. Headaches persist, but are tolerable. A brief fainting spell while witnessing in Orlando reminded me to drink more water. But overall, the precious Lord Jesus keeps me up and gives me strength to fight each new battle. Thank you. Thanks for those prayers. Love you. Under his wings, Brother Frank. Amen. Amen. There's another one I've marked. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Let's pray for Brother Frank. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. I thank you for godly servants that we have been privileged to know and know even now. And Father, I thank you that you have put it in our hearts to aspire to be more like them, I pray, in so many ways. Dear God, we do pray for Brother Frank. Here is a person who wants to be found faithful until the day he dies. And he doesn't know when that will be. His treasures, his body, are yours. And he just wants to get the gospel out. And I thank you for his ministry. And his body is getting weaker. It's getting harder for him to continue to do this. And Lord, yet you've strengthened him as he has testified. You've kept him going. And Father, we thank you for this faithful servant. I pray your comforts upon him that are unexplainable. I pray for the comfort of your Holy Spirit and that power to continue. And I pray that souls would continue to be changed, would be saved, lives be changed, Father, from his witness on these college campuses, God, that there might be revival in hearts and that more may come to know you as their blessed Savior. Father, we pray that those who do, Father, would work to, would go to churches that preach the gospel. We know Brother Frank would direct them. He didn't come here without seeking out a Bible-believing church to be attached to and to know where he could send people, dear God. We thank you for that. And we pray you continue to bless him in his ministry. We thank you for all of our missionaries and all the ones we've been allowed to pray for and some support as well. Father, help us to be faithful and to continue in that. And help us to be, dear God, just faithful missionaries in our field and in our lives. And our hearts may be stirred by so many whom you have brought before us. And Lord, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. And we do ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. With the